Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuroqueerness. This is your host, George Muniz Gund.
And I'm Xenia.
And today we are going to talk about something that I really didn't want to talk about. I really didn't want to have to do an episode on this, but given that it keeps coming up, I decided we are going to have to talk about Mr. RFK Jr.
Or as I call him, the Sunburnt Man.
Yes, the Sunburnt Man and his anti-autism, anti-vaccine conspiracies. This makes me really uncomfortable because I feel like there's two aspects. Most people focus on the anti-vax part, which is a
huge problem.
A huge problem and a disturbing aspect. But what I've noticed also is that this is just reminding me that most people out there still don't understand what autism is and that they still think of it as a disease, and it's still talked about, even in pro-vaccine circles, as if autism were something like cancer, right? Because when people defend the vaccines by saying vaccines don't cause autism, they're still speaking of autism as if it were something like to be completely avoided, and as if it were like a deadly disease or something, which is definitely very dehumanizing towards autistics like myself, especially autistics with higher support needs.
When you're talking about pro-vaccine people discussing autism as a disease, and you've given great examples, they're saying it doesn't cause autism. They're co-opting the language of the right in order to defend vaccines. Although you're correct, it feels very much as though they're thinking, mm-hmm. or at least saying, because of the language they're using, that it is a disease. And I think a lot of people who are pro-vaccine mm-hmm. do believe that it's not, because it's not. They prioritize vaccines because it's about trying to keep their community healthy, but they're still using, again, that language that is given to them to do it. So it comes off mm-hmm. as though they're saying that autism is a disease, even though they're not thinking about it, which is part of the problem.
Yes, it doesn't. That's exactly why it bothers me. It's like if it were picking a very random example, brown hair. Oh, vaccines don't cause brown hair. And it's like, what if they did? Okay, you're going to have brown hair. You won't get measles and die.
But also, vaccines are not going to cause brown hair. So this is the thing. You make a good point. It would be interesting mm-hmm. if, say, someone did say brown hair. They would also say, this is dumb. Why are we talking about this?
Exactly. Which I wish I were seeing more of, because I'm seeing people not even make any mention that autism isn't a disease.
There are some thoughtful pieces and people who are more aware about how to write and discuss neurodivergent issues or the lexicon that is involved in the neurodivergent space, but it is so far behind what it should be.
Yeah. If it weren't, I wouldn't have a problem with telling people I'm autistic, because I wouldn't get these kind of responses of like, oh, but you don't look autistic. Oh, but you're so high functioning, or just discomfort.
This emphasizes this chasm, this valley of progress, that incremental, it's going to come in waves and forms.
Very slow.
Things aren't very much not linear. However, considering how much we've moved past some of the things that we've talked about on this podcast, what autism is, etc., it's bringing up a lot of feelings that we're going backward.
Yeah. The reason it happens is because there was never a really big jump forward. I feel like if most people knew that it wasn't a disease, if autism were something that I could comfortably tell people that I'm autistic and not get all these sorts of weird responses, it would be harder to go back. Like, brown hair is completely non-stigmatized. Left-handedness at this point, I feel like non-stigmatized. I feel like if you were to say vaccines cause left-handedness, people would just be like, okay, so what? You should still get vaccinated. I don't know, it just should be neutral, you know? And I don't see any neutrality. I just still see this emphasis on trying so desperately to convince people that it doesn't cause autism, where, like, the emphasis should be on the benefits of vaccination and protecting immunocompromised people, instead of hammering this point of it doesn't cause autism, as if autism were this big scary thing. If we had made more progress where autism were destigmatized to a point where it's just comparable to left-handedness, to brown hair, then it wouldn't be a target people wouldn't keep trying to hammer that, and they would just go straight to here are the benefits of vaccination. But people are so preoccupied, because I don't even see general discourse in social media.
Before you go on, very quickly, I need to make a note about social media, which you've probably taken into account already. The algorithms, and they're increasingly doing this more, function on reaction times, clicks, what you react to, all of these things. The thing that is most likely to get reactions is something that is going to upset you.
Yes.
I'm not saying that people aren't talking too much about vaccines don't cause autism, when actually this is a moot point and not really the problem. It might be that you're getting a lot more of that content. You may not see it, and it probably because enough of it doesn't exist. Podcasts like this are only just starting to crop up in the last couple of years. This amount of accessibility, our podcast, Ashra's podcast, a lot more people were talking about figuring out they're neurodivergent or that they are neurodivergent and sharing tips. I think there was a bit of a boom during COVID, which comes back to vaccines, because I think one of the things that makes people more nervous about autistic people generally is that, one, especially in the US, there's very little infrastructure for, say, mothers who have autistic children and don't know what to do. And sometimes you have autistic children who have learning disabilities, which is not necessarily connected, but it can happen. And so there's a lot of pressure and lack of infrastructure and care, especially within the United States, for parents and women who are trying to take care of something that they were not expecting, and they feel angry, which is not their fault. But what they've been given is a way to try and funnel their anger to something else, which is kind of where RFK is doing this whole conspiracy thing. And what's hard about him talking about big government trying to put things in vaccines, or, you know, the COVID vaccine and 5G and all of these things, is that it touches upon something very real, which is that there are actual conspiracies happening. As we're speaking about this, we're getting more and more Epstein files by the day, right? It's not that there aren't conspiracies. There is some truth to the fact that Big Pharma can conspire with government, because we had that with the Moderna vaccine where it made a lot of people money. But that doesn't necessarily mean that anything that the government gives you is going to hurt you. They conflate hurting you with not having the support system for someone whose brain works differently, I think, is the problem. They're going, autism is difficult, is what they're saying, because there are not enough resources. There are a lot of people who don't have access to a certain amount of health care. There's not enough information being freely given, or at least accepted by people who feel society is looking down on them because they have an autistic kid. And that's horrible. And they're looking for an answer. And the easiest thing for them to do is, oh, it must be something that someone's doing to me.
Sadly, because I was reading about how over 50% of children murdered by their caretakers are autistic. That there's so much blame. There's not enough understanding that the challenges of raising an autistic child is rooted in the lack of support.
From what you're saying, people in the United States who don't have these resources feel stuck, which is not at all an excuse to hurt a child, to put them in danger, to any of that. I do feel that, however, the fact that there are people who are pushed to that point because of the financial circumstances, because of the country they're in, it is not an excuse, but it is a symptom of something bigger. And that is not caused by vaccines, and it is not caused by autism. The two are not connected. It is very much caused by the fact that there are incredibly corrupt officials who are trying to take advantage of people without thinking about the consequences, who are trying to push attention towards something that causes anger and fear because of lack of support, and trying to make political gains off of that. I do think if it weren't autism, it would be something else. That is how interchangeable it would be for them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They do capitalize on autism, though not very understood by many people. If there were more understanding about autism and that they figured that doesn't work, they would most likely use something else.
They absolutely would pivot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that happening. And yeah, I can see how it all ties back to the government does not want to acknowledge that there is a lack of support for autistic people, and that these problems that people have when they have an autistic child and they struggle is because there's not enough support. But they don't want people to know that, because they don't want to give that support. So they want people to blame the autism.
Yeah, what's even more complicated about all of this is when you look at the history of vaccines in the US, because the US is at its core, it's a very pro-libertarian, we choose what we want to do kind of country. If we were to do broad strokes about the themes of the US, right? It's much more complicated than that. But there's a whole, you know, you can't tell me what to do. You can't take away my guns. This is America kind of thing. There's much more nuance to that. But this is a podcast and not a history lesson. So take that with a grain of salt. Something about this confluence of taking care of your community and big government. And you see this now where people talk about communism or the Soviets, or it looks like socialism, you know, having healthcare, having mandated vaccines, which is what we saw during COVID. There are two things happening. One, people were taken out of their lives, which is very scary for anyone, and they feel they have no control. Mm-hmm. And their mind is going everywhere all at once. Then to have that idea of libertarian freedom feel like it's being taken away from them, along with everything else in their lives, which was very much necessary to keep everyone safe. Them going, well, the government can't tell me what to do. They can't tell me what mask to put on my face. They can't tell me to put something in my body that I don't understand. Grasping at tiny little things to make them feel in control. It's not that they're wrong about the fact that the government will be doing things that they're going to profit off of. It's just misdirected.
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of the same people that get so upset about the government can't tell me to wear a mask to protect other people, they don't care about the government restricting people from having abortions or...
Or most famously, we only care about your child as long as it's inside your body. Afterwards, no support.
Yes, exactly.
The conservative Republican perspective on big government is fractured and often hypocritical, as is the Democratic. But at this point, we're talking about the Republicans as they are now. The idea that people should have a la carte vaccines to be able to choose what they want, which one is not effective because they need to have them in a certain order and they need to have boosters. It's not a take what you want and you'll be fine gig. It's not optional. Just because your kid is vaccinated and someone else's isn't doesn't mean that they're not going to get it. It depends on who they're around, what age, what boosters they have. There's too many variables. This whole idea of, oh, I'd like to order this vaccine off the menu and this vaccine, but I don't know what's in this one, but it won't affect anyone else if my child doesn't have it, is a complete myth. So Republicans and conservatives going, you should be able to do that because that's freedom. But also women shouldn't be able to choose whether or not they want children or can get rid of a clump of cells. The logic there makes no sense, especially when they do nothing to take care of, say, if that child is disabled or is autistic and there's no support there.
Yes.
But they make it seem like it's a consequence of someone else's decisions. It makes the individual feel like they are at fault because there is diversity in humans. People are disabled. People are autistic. People have ADHD. People have Tourette's. It's a beautiful, scary, fascinating world. It's like a David Attenborough documentary. You see all the butterflies with all the different things, and they all do different things, and they hide in different ways. And how boring would it be if they were all the same?
Yes. Beautiful, scary, fascinating world.
But it makes it more difficult to control if it's not all the same. Going back to RFK, that hypocrisy is really strange. And it's even difficult to talk about because it's so many... It is a spectrum of confusion. RFK Jr. He's on the spectrum of confusion.
Yes, spectrum of confusion. There are a few layers of it. There's people just not really understanding what autism is and thinking of it exclusively as a deficiency, which leads to things like them saying that, oh, you can't be autistic because you live alone or you do this or you do that. They're just not recognizing I'm able to do these things because I have the supports in place that I can. The problem is a lot of times is people don't have the supports in place. And then that gets kind of misconstrued. People just assume, oh, autism equals you can't do this or that. Or they're so surprised that the high-functioning comment I get a lot.
You're contributing to society in some way, to capitalism in some way.
Yes, exactly. And then also there's this whole thing that just came up with the job that I had that I'm remembering. It was like clerical office work. And my boss was neurotypical. Well, she knew that I was autistic from the beginning, but I don't think she really understood what it was, because it would come up where we would have an issue with a bill or something, accounting numbers, stuff with this company, that there's an issue with our billing or this or that. And she would have me call the company and try to sort things out. I didn't have any scripting or any idea of how things are supposed to... There's not even, like...
And was that even in your job description?
No, it wasn't.
So that's the thing. If it were, that'd be an interesting thing to choose you to hire, especially if they'd given you a script, you'd be fine.
Yes.
Your employer at the time going, you, who I know vaguely has trouble with ad hoc conversations or just didn't conceptualize that that was a thing, went, you go do that. And you're like, that's not part of the job description, first of all.
And then I would go do it because I just felt like, oh, okay, I guess I have to do it. It would be so stressful because I would call this person. I would say, okay, we're having an issue with this, but there's no protocol. Like, I don't know what the protocol is. And a lot of times the person on the other side of the phone wouldn't know the protocol and they would end up having to call a supervisor or another supervisor. There's no structure. Trying to figure something out with someone who sometimes doesn't really know what they need to do on their end either. I remember telling her at one point, I'm noticing that these phone call situations are really stressful for me. I'd like to do more Excel stuff instead. The Excel stuff I had an easier time with.
We love a table.
We love a table. And then her response was, oh, I know, and that's why I have you do it. Because she thought I was going to build tolerance to it or something. It's kind of reminding me of the mentality that people have of autism needing to be fixed instead of supported or accommodated.
They're trying to get you to be more neurotypical because they're trying to help you. And that's the exact opposite of the point we're trying to make. It's not going to help anybody.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the sad part. I know that they think they're trying to help. They're doing all this, trying to make you do things a neurotypical way because they think that they're helping. They're missing the point and they're actually making it worse.
A lot of these people come from the perspective of, and there's some truth to this, this is the world you live in. You have to get used to it. And there's this push and pull between, yes, for some people on the spectrum, there is an unfortunate responsibility where you have to learn the rules in order to break them. This is true of anyone mm-hmm. who is a minority or is looked down upon by the rest of society or is considered weird. For the people who can sort of mask or cover or whatever, don't mask, but there is an advantage, almost like a sleeper spy situation where if you can
yes.
embed yourself with these people in a good way. I'm using spy terminology for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is an unfortunate responsibility that people like, say, you have or I have as someone with ADHD. Sometimes people don't clock us. They go, yes. Oh, so it must be fine. True. And it's not. But it also mm-hmm. means that you're in a position where you can advocate for other people, and you are. And part of having to learn about all these rules and how silly they are is also understanding how ridiculous they are.
Yes.
And people don't want to hear this because they've been doing it this way.
Yeah, exactly. It's always like the autism is what they needs to change. The system is always as they see it. They're just, oh, it's how it is. And it's interesting if they were to flip it. Like, how about the autism is how it is and the system is something we should be trying to change?
Because the system is something that in a democratic society or concept of one, which we are apparently living in somehow, then we all actively can change the society we live in. That we actually have control over. Not always, but in tiny ways. It's about focusing on small things versus trying to, as the Trump administration is doing again, because this keeps coming up historically, people pointing to autism because they find it socially confusing and going, we must fix, because it shows all the flaws in the system that in certain places they have created healthcare, resources for women, for childcare, for education, for all of these things. They go, oh, it's pointing out all the things that we can't do for them. Rather than improve, we should make it a problem.
Which seems to sadly have been working.
And this is where we get the people are tired bit. It's sad because people are so focused on trying to survive often that they don't really have the mental capacity to think about it in any other terms. It's very difficult ethically to think about, say, tired mothers who have no support, have no idea what's going on, and being told they're shit over and over and over and over again, that they're shit mothers, that they don't know what they're doing, that they're tired, they don't can't hold down a job, and they have a child who they feel they can't communicate with, and they have no resources. And then going, oh, by the way, someone else is telling them it's an illness. That's all they want to hear. All they want to hear is that there's a cure for this existence that they have where they feel useless because no one's given them the tools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what RFK is
yeah.
doing.
Yeah, I feel he's capitalizing. I know it's been done, but I feel like he's really hammering that now.
We're not going to go into the Wakefield study very much, but the famous thing that conflates the vaccine and autism thing was in 1998, now completely discredited, former doctor, in huge air quotes, we're just going to say discredited person, Andrew Wakefield.
Andrew Wakefield, good old Andrew Wakefield.
Managed to publish a quote-unquote non-peer-reviewed paper, which is, by the way, not how medical papers work, in The Lancet, which connected the MMR vaccine, so that's measles, mumps, and rubella.
An actual disease. Measles, mumps, rubella, actual diseases.
Which is incredibly contagious, and said it caused autism. Now, this is where we need to very quickly talk about the difference between causation and correlation. The big confusion is that often the age where people get the MMR vaccine, so that's about 2, is usually when people who are on the spectrum start to exhibit signs that they are on the spectrum. And this is going back to this mom who thinks, oh, I have a quote-unquote normal kid. I know how to connect to this kid. I know how to discuss things with this kid. I'm going to mom groups and we're all talking about the milestones that all of our kids are doing. To a lot of these people who have no idea because either the lack of information available to them, the lack of resources, all of a sudden they think, what the fuck is happening? My child isn't looking at me. In many cases, my child isn't really speaking to me anymore. It looks like regression to them.
Yes, because they've been taught that direct eye contact and traditional neurotypical styles of communication.
It's more accepted and it's more work for that mother. You can understand where the fears come from. Will this child be able to live on their own if they can't ask for something, if they feel overwhelmed? And that anxiety, especially if you don't have enough resources, you don't have the privileges, you don't have enough money, you're not in a state or a town where you know who to talk to or know who to reach out to, it just becomes this nightmare for them. Not because of the autistic kid, but because they think they're doing everything they're supposed to do, and mothers already have so much pressure on them. And all of a sudden, they're like, I have no script. I have no script, which is an autistic problem, isn't it? It's the mothers going, I also have no script for this. And for new mothers specifically, you know, that's scary. You've created a life. You're in charge of this flesh yelling thing. You're trying to figure it out. And the script everyone else is talking about no longer applies to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And people are telling you you're shit and that you're a terrible mother.
And yes, instead of giving you another script, mm-hmm. And it's little things like just the kind of clothing you wear or having headphones or earphones or earplugs even.
There's so many more options now in the modern world as well. We have loops.
Yes, it's true. I think there was this emphasis on, I mean, I know we both already know all of this, but I guess for listeners, the problem was typically seen as Johnny can't go to the supermarket. Problem is Johnny's sensitivity, but instead of a supermarket doesn't have quiet hours or we don't have earplugs, which can go back comparing it to physical disabilities, instead of seeing the problem as they're in a wheelchair, the problem is, oh, there's no ramp.
Often, if you cater to minorities or, say, wheelchairs or prams, or, you know, those need wheelchair ramps also. All these things benefit society on a larger scale. People who are tired, the elderly, all of these people who might benefit from quieter spaces or special times, or even people who work in retail and hospitality. I worked in hospitality. There were times where it was way too loud. I don't mind it, but there are times where I was watching everyone else around me working and they'd put the lights too bright, or my friends who worked in grocery stores.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much for neurotypical people, much less someone who has sensitivity issues.
Yeah.
And that's on capitalism. It's exhausting us to the point where we're, oh, it's our problem.
They want us to believe it's our problem. Yes.
The case with these, a lot of these mothers is they're so exhausted. I mean, sleep deprived, a huge number of fathers who can't deal with it and leave their wives because this is not the life they envision for themselves. That is another very sad statistic. When life gets difficult for women, if they get sick, they have a child with disabilities, men often leave. Health professionals are actually trained to warn women about this. So now we have people feeling, especially in the US, after COVID, jump back to 2020, feeling like they have no power over their lives, feeling like things are unraveling. Some of them are coming to terms with the fact that they're neurodivergent or the fact that they have been so tired their entire lives and have been focusing on work structure to the point where they haven't been able to think about anything else. It's the sense of anxiety and fear. When this sort of vaccine fear that, say, back in 1998, it was sort of a more hippie movement. We associate with liberals. We don't want certain things in our food. Or there's too much sugar. There's a lot of the times true in the U.S. There's a lot of sugar in U.S. food. There's a lot of chemicals in U.S. food to make it look the way it looks. So all of these fears were happening in the 80s and then through the early 2000s. Well, that's considered a hippie thing, you know, organic food associated with Democrats. There's this same sense of libertarianism that's coming, right? That happens for all Americans, which is we don't want to be told what to do. We want to live organic living, or homeopaths who decided big government. And again, on both sides of political spectrum, conspiracies abound, and some of them kind of touch on the truth, which is that, say, corn syrup was a huge problem and was introduced into food for a while in the US, and that was because of government subsidies. Those kinds of things make it more difficult to trust when the government's actually doing something helpful, which is very rarely. But let's just say, you know, vaccines are one of the few things.
Yes, one of the few things.
Even in Denmark, and Trump is trying to model his whole thing against Denmark now for some reason. They did a study about vaccines and autism, and they're like, this is not relevant. But they failed to mention that in the news, I've noticed. And I mentioned Denmark because RFK cited Denmark and what they did with their vaccines as a reason for making recently the polio vaccine optional, which, why are we doing that? Hepatitis C, I believe, the vaccine when it was developed during, I think it was the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. So it was mostly associated at the time with queer people and intravenous drug users. And after a certain point, doctors realized that Hep C is so easy to get from anything, from spit, from tears, from any form of contact. It was more likely to affect mothers and they could give it to their children. Not because they were queer, not because they took drugs, but just because it was really, really difficult to avoid, especially in hospital settings. So then they developed a vaccine and they realized, oh, if everyone gets the vaccine, then it essentially eradicates the problem.
Mm-hmm. As it has in many places. And then I know that now that there's been more of a resurgence of the anti-vax movement, and I've seen this not only here, I mean, it's happening a lot here, but I've known in Brazil it started happening also because they had a far-right government.
Yeah, it's like 5 to 10 years it takes for people to understand consequences.
Yes, and now it's starting to happen there. There are diseases that had been completely eradicated and now they're starting to pop up again because people stopped getting their kids vaccinated. Disclaimer, I know that there are some people that can't get vaccinated because of their immune system, other conditions. So I do want to emphasize that I do recognize that.
But immunocompromised people who are born with chronic conditions is obviously something that is very different.
Yes, very different than what we're talking about.
Yeah, we hope you have a good doctor to help you out with that. If it's difficult for us with less immunocompromised systems, I can't imagine what it's like out there for someone who has to worry about that. Profiting off of this misinformation, again, Andrew Wake, for example, one of the reasons he was taken down was because there was a lovely Sunday Times reporter named Brian Deer, who in 2004 had discovered that Wakefield had undisclosed financial interests relating to publishing his paper, which involved a so-called test that's supposed to test either your vaccine or your child. I'm still not entirely sure for this protein or whatever in the vaccine that would cause autism, which is not really a thing. But it was estimated to perhaps have made him, had it gone through, $43 million.
Wow.
Again, things like this do happen, which is why it's so difficult when you look at, say, what RFK is doing, where he goes, oh, people stand to make a lot of money from having vaccines and giving them to you and not finding a cure for something. Well, that's not how science works, but it builds upon this pre-existing fear that, again, there was a resurgence of during COVID, where people felt, I don't think I can trust this, or I feel I'm being made to do this. And they just reach a breaking point. I don't want to be told what to put on my body, what to put in my body. I don't feel taken care of. I don't do whatever, whatever, whatever. And for some reason, that anger can be capitalized upon in the wrong way, which is what politics is very, very good at doing.
Yes, unfortunately.
What's fascinating about RFK, when I was doing more research on him, after all of this Wakefield stuff, there was some celebrities who had autistic kids who also went with this left hippie movement of, there's too many vaccines all of a sudden. Why are we have all these vaccines? Is it corporate greed? Before that, RFK Jr. had been an environmental district attorney for New York. So during this time, there was a lot of pollution, and pollution has been linked to developmental disorders, not necessarily autism. But because the two things can't happen at the same time, people connect them because, like, oh, my child has a respiratory problem and now they can't speak. That makes certain symptoms of autism worse, I imagine. If you have trouble breathing, it's just going to expound whatever people consider difficult about autism to begin with, right? RFK Jr. used to have people come to him when he was investigating mercury in water, in rivers, and all of these things, and go like, oh, my child has autism because of mercury. By the way, not a thing. And he ignored them. And then one day, a friend of a friend of a friend came to his holiday house, I think somewhere, and brought a whole bunch of articles and said, you need to read these. And he went through them and did get meetings with Fauci, expert on infectious diseases, Francis Collins, who was head of the NIH, and they sort of waved him away when he started asking them, you know, does this cause this? Does this cause this? Because it wasn't really why they thought they were talking to him, I don't think. And RFK Jr.'s apparent response to that was, oh, they're hiding something from me. And somehow that was conflated with the whole Mercury and the developmental stuff. And who knows whether it was guilt or whether he even fucking cares about autism or autistic mothers or, you know, all of this stuff. But it just became this huge, again, conflation with big pharma and I can't trust government and libertarianism. And this is where you get the meeting of the hippie, I want my children to have organic foods because I don't know what's in them, with, as we mentioned before, this is America. The government can't tell us what to do. They're hiding something from us, et cetera, et cetera. You get this meeting of the conservative libertarian weirdness with the organic hippie shit, which is, I think, why it continues to persist, because there is, again, things that the government is absolutely fucking doing. But it's not because they're trying to hurt you. It's because they don't give a shit. It's because they're trying to make money. At the same time, that doesn't mean that things like vaccines are going to harm you, or that they cause autism, or that autism is a bad thing.
Exactly.
But there's so many steps to get here.
So many layers. Exactly.
Even in that one sentence. Yes, the government is often shit. Yes, they're mostly interested in making money. Mm-hmm. Vaccines, however, have been proven definitively most of the time, if not all the time, to be helpful. And then somehow, this is where people have to be so tired and so desperate and so exhausted by life where they're like, oh, and by the way, autism is bad. Where the fuck does that come from? Yeah. Again, we just discussed why people just think it's difficult, that they see it as a disease, but somehow mm-hmm. it's just plugged in there.
Yeah.
It takes a bunch of mental steps to get from big government, society, difficult, autism, or Tourette's, or ADHD, or mm-hmm. any of these other things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think. There's so many mental mm-hmm. steps you have to make.
Yeah, but I guess somehow it works for people because they know that it's not understood enough yet.
Do you think it's because there's an idea of what a good kind of like citizen is, you know, for the government? That we all know that neurodivergent people are considered a minority or difficult to deal with because we call out power, because we have needs that may not be accommodated. Mm-hmm. What do you specifically think makes it difficult for people to accept, say, autism as a completely okay way of living, of existing and actually being able to contribute to society in ways they didn't understand?
I think what makes it difficult is that a lot of people have the notion that there's only one correct way to exist in society, which is like going to a traditional school to get to a point where you're contributing to this capitalist society and not questioning any of these power dynamics and how problematic they are. I feel most autistic people do question that.
You don't question things that somewhat work for you. Whereas if it really doesn't work for you, either you decide you're the problem and you end up hurting yourself in some way, or you start thinking, huh,
yeah,
maybe it's not me.
And then I think there's a discomfort because people have been conditioned for so long, especially if they're older. Maybe they're even neurodivergent themselves and they've even had struggles themselves with fitting these molds, but it's just been so ingrained that this is the correct mold. This is what you need to do to be liked and to be seen as successful. And I think I even fell into that a little bit when I was younger. I would blame myself or I would get frustrated with myself if I couldn't do well in a certain subject or some get these grades, be able to say, oh, I got into like this fancy school, because that's what gets you acceptance. People laud you for that. In a lot of cases, you're able to, at the cost of extreme distress, because sometimes you can do some of those things, even though it's causing you a lot of distress internally, the other people don't see that. And then I think back to why it's harder for older people to grasp, even if they are neurodivergent, is because they've always done that and they've always thought of, oh, that's what needs to be done. That's what I need to do to be accepted. That's the only correct way of being. And it really takes a lot of unpacking all of that stuff and really questioning, but was it fair for me to have to do that 30 years ago or 40 years ago, instead of, oh, but you should do it because I didn't?
You're completely correct. It's, if we're going to really simplify, it's trauma. It's fucking trauma. It's societal trauma. It's going, I don't have the energy to unpack how angry I am or hungry I should have been, or what these other people should have done for me, even if it wasn't their fault. Because say we're talking about neurodivergent people who are older, it's a genetic thing. So if one person was taught to be ashamed of something because that parent with good intentions thought there are very few accommodations, I need to teach my kid how to make it, and this is how I was taught, so I'm going to do this, and that person continues to do that, and they're like, well, everyone's done this and we've all been through pain, so we must normalize it. And you can understand why there's that psychological block. Because life is so hard, because it's so exhausting, they just have to admit it. And having the time and energy to unpack it is not possible. They don't have the resources. Again, people who are capitalizing on that, like algorithms and anger, they're doing it for reasons that do not help anyone other than profit. But it all comes down to, is there a better way to do this? Life is hard enough already. Why are we doing this? Especially when it comes to politics, what are they trying to distract us from?
Mm-hmm.
When they're pointing to a minority or someone who is neurodivergent or autism, what are they trying to, let's hypothetically say RFK, let's treat him like an old neurodivergent person. I'm not saying he is, but let's,
sure.
If he were in that situation where he was in a family that has generations of, you know, and he's been taught to do certain things a certain way, a certain American way, a certain capitalist way, a certain whatever, you have to eat your, you know, red meat and whole milk, which, by the way, don't do that when you get older. That's cholesterol. Don't fucking do that. You know, there's a stick-to-itiveness that isn't great. It's stubborn. Changing is what allows us to continue to exist. Being stubborn and digging your heels in, especially in the face of actual science, is what kills us. And I think to be told that in his case, where he's seeing all these changes happening, I'm imagining, I don't deign to know what goes on in this man's head, and I really don't want to. Mm-hmm. But hypothetically, if you're someone who grew up in a certain generation with certain privileges, and you were taught you have to do this, 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 and all of a sudden they see all these sort of queer people and neurodivergent people and people saying, by the way, sometimes the American way isn't the best. He sees that as anti-libertarian.
Yeah.
He sees that as lack of control. He goes, I want to go back to what I knew. He wants a script that he understands, ironically, right? And that script is very much baked into what was probably his experience as an environmental lawyer dealing with his people and the Wakefield study and all of that. And also the current government, which is really just trying to deflect and distract as much as they possibly can to get through whatever crisis they're in at the moment. And the fact that autistic people are the collateral damage does not matter to them. That is the point. If it's not autism, it is something else. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you're frustration at the top of this episode, where people defending one thing, not the other, is a perfect example of people not understanding that they are somehow still defending the idea, even if they're not aware of it, that autism is something that needs to be cured.
Yes.
It's not a criticism of them. It's that it's the language, again, that they have been given. And it's right for them to defend vaccines. We absolutely all should. But in a time and a place where we get so much information all the time, so much shit thrown in our faces all the time, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do more or qualify what they say more. I agree with you. However, I do understand why they would get distracted and use certain phrasing. And that's the hard bit.
Yeah. I understand it, but I still, if they're going to bring up autism at all, they should at least have some context. They should at least not just throw it around.
It's not a buzzword that's connected to a hashtag that has to do with vaccination.
And it's not something bad. There are struggles with it, but it's not an inherently bad cancer-like thing. Even if they don't realize that. I mean, sadly, a lot of people actually do believe that, and they can be lovely people and lovely, well-intentioned people, but they're just seeing it from the wrong angle because it's what they were taught and they were never exposed to information that disproves that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to what I wish were an unnecessary, redundant episode that would not even need to be done because it is so ridiculous. Yet we're here, so thank you so much for listening. Hope you were able to get something out of this. I know you probably were. Thank you also to my co-host, Xenia, for bringing all the research and information and helping me connect the dots in my brain.
Take care of yourself, guys, okay? You can't connect the dots if you have no brain power. Bye!